I'll tell you about it. There was an out-of-work actor named Daniel. And he was getting desperate for work. He was behind in his rent and running out of food. And he saw an ad in the paper. And it said, actor needed to play a gorilla. And he thought, well, I could do that. So he went to inquire about the job, and it turns out that the employer was the local zoo. See, the zoo had spent so much money renovating the grounds and improving the habitat that they couldn't afford the actual gorilla. So until they could get more funding, they had decided to use an actor in a gorilla suit. Needing the money, Daniel took the job. At first, he not only felt dishonest by fooling the customers, but also a little undignified in the ape suit. But after a few days on the job, he began to be amused by all the attention he was getting and started to put on a show for the folks. Hanging upside down from branches and swinging on vines, climbing up cage walls and roaring and beating his chest. Soon, Daniel was drawing a sizable crowd. One day, when Daniel was swinging on a vine to show off to some children, his hand slipped, and he went flying over the wall into the lion's den. He panicked. There was a huge lion not 20 feet away that looked really hungry. So Daniel started jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, "Help! Help! Get me out of here! I'm not really a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla suit. Help!" The lion quickly pounced on the man, held him down and said, "Will you shut up? You're going to get us both fired." Many times, we've been going through, if you've been at the Bible study, we've been going through during our end time study. We started out in the book of Daniel. And so, since we've been studying much of his, the chapters pertaining to the prophecies, I thought it would be a great time to talk about the life of Daniel. Because we really haven't gotten into that in those studies. And so, it's amazing how more than one time this man was told by an angel of God that he was truly beloved. If you want some encouragement, would that be a great way to get it? Huh? Man, to have an angel there and say, you know what? They're loving you up there. They just love you. That's great encouragement. And for those of you younger people here, I think this is a really important subject. And for reasons that you'll see in a moment. I want to kind of go over the life of Daniel here. Daniel was a guy, I was researching him. Did you know that Daniel was actually taken into captive to Babylon at the age of 15? Imagine that. This was likely the second group of exiles that were taken from Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. And, he was taken along with other young princes. And as I said earlier in my Bible study, that it's interesting to note how many of the prophets, some of them lived at the same time and knew each other. Daniel, when he was taken at 15, he was taken from Judah, and Jeremiah was the prophet there in Judah that had been held in prison for years and was speaking out against the king. In fact, it was the things that Jeremiah had prophesied is why Daniel was taken in the first place. And so it was likely that Daniel knew, either knew Jeremiah personally or knew of him certainly. In fact, in Daniel chapter 9, he said that he had read the word of the Lord that had come through the prophet Jeremiah. So those scrolls were either taken during that time that Daniel was taken, or they were later taken to Babylon. There's There were two other prophets, interestingly, that lived during the Babylonian exile during that same period. One of them was Obadiah, and we have a book. He's called the Minor Prophet. I don't know if you were having any news, he's just a minor prophet, if that you like that, but he's a minor prophet. And he's got a book in the Old Testament. And then Ezekiel. And Ezekiel even mentions Daniel in his account of his own vision from God. But probably those two, Obadiah and Ezekiel, lived out of the Jewish exile. But Daniel, along with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was their Babylonian given names, lived inside the court with the king. And the first thing that I want you to see about Daniel is that even at an age that today we consider the rebellious age, Daniel was completely devoted to the things of God. And that God rewarded his devotion. Daniel 1, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel." This is at the age of 15. And for you young people today, you do not have to give in to peer pressure and do the other things that the other kids are not doing. Daniel, at the age of 15, was willing to stand up to the most powerful people in the world and remain holy to God, set apart. He did it. He didn't do it just because some people, some kids grow up and they don't do things just because they want to be different. Kind of like my lime green Jesus, you know. It was just to be different. I love lime green. But some kids do that. I just want to be different. But that's not why Daniel did it. Daniel did it because God was his first priority. Now the next thing I want you to see is that Daniel wasn't afraid to take the lead. This morning when I was talking in my Bible study, I said when you sin, you almost always take somebody down with you. In David's case, when he sinned with Bathsheba, Joab also sinned by taking care of Uriah the Hittite. When you sin, other people tend to go with you. But here, Daniel does the opposite. In Daniel 1, 11 through 13, it says, "Daniel then said to his guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days.'" Notice it says, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see." Daniel took the lead for him and his buddies. And of course, we don't know whether that was they just voted him up. I was teasing Bob that when he wasn't here for the board meeting last week that we nominated him to lead four different committees. It happened. You know, sometimes you get voted into something. We don't know if they just said, "Hey, why don't you take the lead?" I kind of think Daniel was just that kind of guy. Do you know that? If you have a great leader, it's in them, isn't it? It's in them already. And Daniel took the lead. He stepped up and acted for the sake of his people, not just for his own sake. Now, I want you to understand something, especially as young people. being a follower isn't a bad thing. As long as you're following the right people. God needs followers. Did you know that? A lot of people, I've seen a lot of people want to go into the ministry. We had a guy at Long Beach that just wanted to go into the ministry. He had none of the gifts from God that he would need. But he just wanted to because he wanted to lead. And the problem is if nobody's following you, you're probably not the leader. But God needs followers. We used to talk about, you remember the old saying, there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians? Right? God needs Indians. But listen, if he calls you to be a chief, you better step up and do it. Because, see, other people's lives will be affected if you don't step up to God's call. God blessed all four of these young men, and especially Daniel. In 1:17 it says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God gave them so much wisdom and understanding. Remember last week we talked about wisdom. Gave him so much wisdom and understanding that King Nebuchadnezzar found that they were 10 times better than all of the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Is that amazing? They were 15. They were young boys. How incredible is that? Daniel was 17 when Nebuchadnezzar had his first dream. The king was so angry that his seers couldn't tell him what his dream was that he ordered all of his wise men to be killed. He threw the baby out with the bathwater, right? That's that old thing. He said, oh, we're just going to kill him. In fact, I remember one of the... I think it was Napoleon, what he did to Mussolini was he leaked out that Mussolini had a bunch of Napoleon's spies in his advisors. And so Mussolini killed all of them, even though it wasn't true. And kings tend to make big mistakes, especially kings that aren't godly. And so he ordered all of his wise men to be killed. And when Daniel learned of it, he asked the king for a little time to give him an answer. That was brave too, huh? And he says, now notice what this young man did first in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. I want you to notice on Daniel, you go back and try to figure things out. Remember, God gave him all sorts of wisdom. He could have done all sorts of things to figure it out on his own. Go back and tell us three compatriots, listen, we're the four smartest guys in the land. We should be able to figure this out. When God blesses us, it's easy to start thinking that it's really us. I've seen it in a lot of television evangelists. They forget that it's all God. And they're just called to be obedient. And I've told you this many times, and I'm going to tell you for as long as I'm here, listen, I'm not doing anything here other than loving you, loving God, and giving you His Word. Anything great that happens here happens because of God, not because of me. important to keep that in mind. See, the outcome is God's, and so is the glory. Amen? And Daniel didn't pull out charts and scrolls, and he didn't start worrying or complaining. He got his friends together and asked them to pray corporately for the answer. You see, they had everything they needed. Remember when Jesus told us, wherever two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there will I be also? The four of them were powerful because of their faith in God. Their trust wasn't in their own knowledge. It was in the Lord of all creation, and that's where they went first. See, if your trust is in you, you're going to go other places first. But if your trust is in God, if He's all that you need, and you know it, and you remember it, then that's where you'll go first. God came through at birth, of course, and the moment that God gave the answer to Daniel, he praised God. That's important. He praised God. Too often, we're like one of the 10 lepers. You remember the lepers that went to Jesus, and they said, "Oh, Lord, help us, heal us." And Jesus healed all 10 of them. And they went away, and only one of them came back and said, "Thank you, Lord." That's a bummer. It's important to remember who gave it to you and to thank Him and praise Him at all times. God continued to come through for Daniel and his three friends throughout their lives because they continued to be totally committed to Him. Now listen, that doesn't mean that they didn't face great trials or that their lives were without sadness. Daniel survived three regime changes. Imagine that. Babylon was conquered by Medo-Persia, and then eventually the Persians took over entirely. And he survived all that as did his friends, and throughout their lives they stayed committed to God. But one thing, they were always captives in a foreign land. Something I want you to remember this morning. No matter how blessed you are, I don't care if God gave you a 6,000 square foot home. Or whether you live on a street in a cardboard box. You're a stranger in a foreign land. Why? Because God said that this world is not my home. Not your home. This is not where we're destined to be. And it's meant to be hard here. Because we're to always remember that this is not our home. Isn't that something? If I remember, have any of you ever gone on vacation? And you get there, and I remember we went to a place, and we got to the hotel, and there was drug paraphernalia in the hotel room. It was so dirty that we didn't even take off our shoes. Sometimes you get someplace and it's really not what you expected. But it's easy to get through that because it's not your home. Right? It's not my home. I'm going back. And one day we're all going to make it home. And it's going to be nothing. And so sometimes it's just hard because we're supposed to remember that this is not our home. Sure, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were surrounded by luxury. Just as we're surrounded by all the good things that God has given us. But it still isn't our home. You know, those men never put their trust in the things around them or in the kings in whose kingdoms they served. Their focus was always on God. Remember in whose care you are in when you're sitting in that nice restaurant at lunch. The four of them all faced great trials throughout their lives. You'll remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, their Babylonian names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they were thrown into the fire furnace for not bowing down. Remember that? But when they got in there, somebody else was already in there with them. And they have said to me, and you'll hear it over and over again, and I tell you that that is the greatest testament of faith that there is, that they said, our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. Now that's faith, folks. That's faith. God is able to pull us, God is able to provide me a new job when I'm out of work. But even if he doesn't, I serve the Lord Almighty. That's faith. God is able to heal me of this cancer. But even if he doesn't, I'm loving God. That's faith. That's what God calls us to do, is total commitment to him. They went through that furnace with what many believe, who many believe, was Jesus Christ standing by their side. Oh, how glorious that must have been. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. He was 83 years old, 83 or 84, when he was thrown into that lion's den. Imagine that. I wouldn't even survive the fall. 83 or 84 years old, when he was thrown into a lion's den. And God shut the mouth of the lions. Daniel had a long life. Possibly, they think he may have lived up until he was 90 years old. And for that time, that was a long life. But during that time, he never let his eyes stray from God. And I don't care how old you are, whether you're 9 years old or 90, God wants you to be totally committed to him. If you're a teen, I want to tell you that you don't have to have a time of rebellion. You can remain faithful to God, who will always remain faithful to you, whether you are or not. I used to, how many of you grew up in church? At least 50% of you. How many of you heard, we always hear these testimonies. I remember on Wednesday night, my dad used to have a time of testimony. These people would stand up and talk about how they kicked drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And I would think, what an awesome testimony. I wish I had a testimony like that. Right? You know what the better testimony is? I love God from the time I was 15. I've always loved God. I've always put him first in my life. How much better it is to say that. That's why Daniel was told, you are so loved in heaven. That's the better testimony. And I don't know if you got saved and you left God's side for a while and you decided to do some other fact that God has promised for us to that judgment come. We talked about that this morning. God said, your sins, I throw them away as far as the east is from the west. One verse says, to the bottom of the ocean you sent them. God chose to just forgive and not to remember. So I don't care if you've left him and you've come back, or whether you stayed with him all your life. No matter which side you're in, God wants you to be totally committed to him. If your first thought is always to go to God, if your first action is always to praise God, if your first inclination is to give back to God, that's where God wants you. Because you're right in front of his hand. Man, all day you've got nothing on God. God wants you in the palm of his hand. Just as he had Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were right there, strangers in a foreign land, always captives, always praising their Lord. And because they did, God blessed them. God calls each and every one of us to follow him. If he's called you to lead in some capacity, you need to step up and do that, because his followers are waiting for you to make the right decisions. Imagine if Daniel hadn't made that right decision. What would have happened to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? Who knows? But Daniel stepped up and led those boys. He led them in righteousness. Don't do it in your own power. Daniel and his followers did. They didn't do it in their own wisdom and their own knowledge. They prayed and asked God for an answer. They never forgot that it was God and God alone who gave them all that they needed to prosper. Keep your eyes on Jesus. There are always going to be furnaces and lion's dens. Did you know that? Always. But you're not home yet. There are going to be people who are over you at your job that aren't godly and don't have your welfare in mind. But keep your eyes on Jesus, because you're not home yet. Just as Daniel and his friends were captive in the foreign land, so are you. Just as there were people around them that hated them because of their faith in God, there were always, Jesus tells us, there will always be people around you that will hate you because of your faith in him. Always. Jesus said that we are blessed when we are hated for his name's sake. Count it all joy and remember, you're not home. Let's bow our heads. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know if you, like several people, have always been in church, and you've always followed God, you've always done what he wanted, just to the best of your ability. And you have that great, boring testimony that I've always loved God, and I've always loved God. God loves you. You are beloved in heaven. Make sure that you're totally committed and put it first in all things. Maybe you know that you've been rebellious, and it happens at any age. Things can happen to us around us. Sometimes we're put in the lion's dens, and we're mad about it. And so we strike out. If that's the case, let's come back to God. He loves you. He wants to be the most important thing in your life, and he wants to